You're listening to Pack Dynamics, a Fandom on the Rocks podcast.
Hello, welcome back to Pack Dynamics, a Fandom on the Rocks podcast. I am Emily.
And I'm Allison.
Welcome to another whirlwind episode of this Teen Wolf podcast. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm a little sleepy, but it's been mostly a day off, which has been great. Cooking with the fella and playing video games. I slept in this morning. It's early in the evening, but I definitely want a nap, even though I know that would ruin the entire point of like going to bed at a reasonable hour. Mm-hmm. But still.
I'm absolutely going back to sleep after this.
That sounds outstanding.
Right onto the couch.
Oh, sounds great.
Well, I went to a wedding yesterday, so I need to
fun recoup. And how was that?
It was good. It was very chill.
Yay.
Befitting the couple.
Good.
Little ceremony, more party.
Ah. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No party in this episode.
No. Lots of non-party events.
Very few party in episode 9, Wolfsbane.
So much stress. How's that for a segue? So little party.
So stress, no party. Well, Jackson discovers Scott's secret and wants to become a werewolf too. Allison questions her family's strange behavior. This episode aired July 25th, 2011.
What does Tumblr say? So much panic, so little disco.
Yeah, so much panic, so little disco. There was
so much panic,
disco.
So little disco in this episode is really just how we go. So we were talking about in the last episode that we were kind of we're just now kind of getting like clicking very politely up the roller coaster. And this is where it really starts to kind of take off, where the season kind of, we start getting more answers than questions. We start careening wildly towards season 2 plot points. We start seeing relationships develop. It's hi, I love this episode. Hi, my name is Allison and I love this episode.
It's a good one.
It's a good one.
You don't think it's gonna be when it opens with Mr. Harris?
No, you don't. What a bad guy.
Piece of shit.
Sir. Sir.
Yeah. Piece of shit. He is in a classroom. His classroom? We never
his
know
classroom,
in the school.
Yeah.
And he finds a piece of paper with a bunch of names that are variations of Harris, all with red X's next to the name, which is quite ominous. And a little bit, I don't think they intended to do this, but it does kind of like flash forward to the, what's it called? The kill list. What's
that called?
Yeah, the Deadpool.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. I don't know if they intended that, but I was like, oh, and the Deadpool.
Maybe when they were writing season 4, they were like, oh, hey, let's go back and watch season 1, see where we can pick some stuff up.
Yeah. Like, ooh, a list of names.
A list of names. My favorite is he gets kind of through the list. He lands on the bottom, Adrian Harris. And then there's like a slow moving camera that goes to his nameplate, Professor Adrian Harris. And I was like, Professor?
What are you doing in this high school?
Sir. Sir.
Why are you here?
Do you know where you are?
Mm-hmm. Well, he's not the only one in this room, because the Alpha is also in this room and asks very ominously if he knows who wrote the list. And surprisingly, I guess, Harris says that it was Laura Hale.
I have so many questions.
Mm-hmm.
So many questions.
Yeah.
So many questions. So Harris will come back in a very similarly staged scene a little bit later in the episode, and he kind of sets up a timeline, and it makes me wonder, did he know Laura?
Maybe. We, like, as the audience, don't know much about Laura.
No, the audience doesn't know much about Laura at all. And like, how does Harris know that Laura wrote the list?
Right.
Like, not that they're going to answer that question, but like, I'm, you know, whoo, my curiosity pony's bursting out of her stable. Like, How do you know that? Is it like the way that professors know their students' handwriting? Or is it like, did Laura come and talk to you before? Like, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Well, because he sets up later that Laura came to talk to him.
Right.
I'll send you in the same direction I sent her.
Mm-hmm.
But like, how did this list come back to how?
One of the many lingering questions of Teen Wolf. But then the Alpha tells him to look around, turn around, look what you've done.
Look at what you've done.
And I have, yet again, whose voice is this?
I don't, it's CGI. It's like one of those recorders that you talk into.
Yeah, but like even then you would figure that once we figure out who the alpha is, they would like use their voice.
So I think they did this to make it so that you couldn't guess who the alpha was.
But you hadn't heard that voice yet.
That's true.
I just, once again, I have a lot of questions. I understand the vibe, but like, what?
Because they're very different voices.
Very different voices is all I'm
saying. That's not that actor.
No, not that actor.
Unless it's been auto-tuned to hell.
I mean, like it has been, but even then I couldn't find a thread, an audible thread between the two of them.
But Derek Hale does come to the rescue before the alpha can throw a desk at him.
Even though Harris 100% does not deserve it,
Derek. He does not.
Being a good dude and an excellent role model since 2011. Okay, so he gets a lot worse, but in this moment, he's doing good.
In this moment, he does what he can to protect a douchebag from taking a desk to the head. Everyone runs. The alpha runs. Derek runs. Who knows what happens to Harris?
He just like lays on the floor in his classroom and is sad.
As the police show up, which begins a car foot chase through town.
Are you trying to tell me that additional teen werewolf Derek Hale is outrunning police cars?
He outruns at
full speed.
He's outrunning a car. I love it.
Driven by the sheriff. The sheriff is not like, you know, just like tootling around at like 5 miles an hour, like doo 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 doo. No, he's hauling tookus.
Yeah.
Like what?
I love it. Apparently that's wolf powers on in human form. Sure. You can outrun cop car.
Outstanding. Well done, sir.
I think it's great. Chris Argent and Kate Argent are also in pursuit because apparently they know that this was happening and what's going on.
I guess, yeah.
I don't know how they showed up or how they knew what was going on, but they realized that there's a werewolf running on foot. And Kate's like, on foot? Then who the hell is driving his car?
Smash cut to Scott McCall driving the Camaro. Like,
terrible idea.
I'm so proud, Scott. I'm so proud of you.
Grinding those gears.
Also, please note the product placement sponsored by Camaro.
Sponsored by Dodge.
Well, like, don't get me wrong. I 100% want a black Dodge Camaro to be in that vibe.
Mm-hmm. Like, leather jacket, Dodge Camaro.
Leather jacket, Dodge Camaro. The big blonde hair with the red lipstick, season two. Ugh! Mm-hmm. An icon, a legend. But Scott just like pedal to the metal, just outstanding.
Well, he's trying. At first, he's going the speed limit. Doesn't want to get caught by the cops in a car chase.
And then Styles is like, no, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Vroom, vroom.
Yep. The cops try to use dogs on Derek, but obviously he just werewolves them away.
Grrr.
Yeah. Which I think is a fun... It's happened before, too, right? Yeah. Like, someone tries to sick dogs on them, and they just, like, arf.
Yeah.
Sends them away. It looks like Chris has Wolfsbane arrows that he's firing at Derek. I couldn't quite tell. He seems to have a...
I feel like they were the flashbangs.
Oh, were they flashbangs?
I think they were flashbangs because they were like disorienting his vision and they were very bright.
Okay.
I feel like they were flashbangs.
Because Derek looks so scared.
Yeah, Derek looks
like
pretty
hiding behind something.
Yeah, he looks pretty wrecked. And then in a scene straight out of an anonymous spy movie, Scott pulls around. Styles somehow leaps into the back seat of the Camaro.
Yeah, I don't know how he does.
And the three of them book it out of wherever they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever, like, warehouse situation there.
Industrial iron thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he, like, throws open the door. Get in! It's great. Chris firing straight bullets at this, like, unknown car containing two children.
Yeah. That he's met teenager. Personally.
Yeah. That's his daughter's ex-boyfriend there.
Yeah.
Not great.
Not great. Just the relationship between the three of them makes me so warm and fuzzy in my heart place. Because, like, are they great? No. But Derek trusts Scott more than he did in the pilot. Scott trusts Derek more than he did in the pilot. They have a relationship and it is developing. And we're actually getting to watch a relationship between Derek and Styles start to develop.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not
say
just
Styles
like,
is just happy to be there.
Styles is just happy to be there. And Styles and Derek are shooting just daggers at each other. Can you just try... and trust us for at least half a second? Yeah, both of us. And Derek just like looks back and it's like, I'm just gonna, no, absolutely not.
He's got such a good look on it too. Like, he does that glower so well.
It's so good. The eyebrows, it's impeccable.
So good.
And turns out that along with the list of Harris names, Laura manifested this drawing that we later learn comes from Harris. And this is the only other clue. Laura was such a little investigator. She was trying really hard. She got far.
She did. Not far enough, but she got pretty far.
She got pretty far.
And it is a symbol with a wolf that Dear Scott recognizes from Allison's necklace. Whoops.
Whoopsies.
And it was seen on the person that Harris was talking to.
Yep.
Ruh-roh.
Who he taught how to set a big building on fire.
Yeah.
Ruh-roh.
That's not good.
Not good.
Styles wants Scott to get a hold of Allison's necklace so they can like cross-reference the drawing and the necklace and see if they can find out more information. Allison, of course, is not talking to Scott, so this is going to require some theft.
Of some kind, yes.
Of some kind. Mm-hmm. Which is fair. Sometimes you just got to steal from your ex-partners.
You know, if it's for the good of all werewolf kind.
Yes. Sometimes it's a big sweater. Sometimes it's a family heirloom.
To each
it just
own.
Depends.
Every relationship is special and unique.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of special and unique, we do have Jackson. We have a lot of Jackson in this episode.
There's a lot of Jackson. And I just, Jackson, I know he's being pretty shitty. He's being a pretty crappy teenage boy in this particular episode, but he goes through so much.
He does.
This poor kid. Who is this awful doctor? What is happening?
Yeah, it looks like he's finally gone to get the scab wounds on his neck checked out. And the doctor's like weirdly pointed in his questions of like, have you been having nightmares? Like, oh, I have been having nightmares about a fire and a house and screams. Like, ooh, that's weird.
So I had a thought just now. Derek, so this is the whole thing, right? Is that how is Jackson connected to the Alpha when it was Derek that like chonk got his neck, right? Derek accidentally neck clawed Jackson in 1-4.
Mm-hmm.
And Jackson goes to the video store and gets attacked by the Alpha in 1-5, right?
Yes.
So remember in the movie Fake Blockbuster, the Alpha comes upon Jackson on the floor and like drags his little claw kind of over the cut and it glows purple.
Mm-hmm.
Did the Alpha like do some wiggly magic of some kind, some wiggly werewolf magic?
I mean, maybe.
In that moment?
Yes, I could, maybe.
I'm drawing the thinnest possible line between those two things, but I'm trying to figure out.
It's got to be, right? Because there's no other. Because the stuff on the roof also glowed purple, so we could see it.
Because Derek, as we learn later, Derek wasn't in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Derek didn't see the fire.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't do any of that. So, like, these are all the Alpha's memories.
Yeah.
Like, what is happening?
It has to be.
I like, that's my story and I'm sticking to it. I don't know.
I'll take it. This is canon now.
Canon or fanon?
Pod canon? I don't know.
Just out of a canon.
I accept
Shoot
it.
Me out of a canon.
I accept it now. Yeah, I'll take it.
My notes here are particularly unhinged. Like, who is this awful doctor? They're nightmares. No, no, no. This is the nightmare. No, 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 no.
Yeah. This doctor starts like with his little forceps thingies. He's like, I have to dig a little deeper and there's something just under the skin, which is a metaphor.
He literally has forceps shaped like claws.
I know.
Like, sir.
Those aren't standard medical devices.
Are those sterile?
Probably not. And he starts pulling a long vine with purple flowers out of the wound.
Isn't it the rope?
Yeah, I assume it's the rope that was used to tie up Laura.
Yeah. That's what I thought it was. And then, so Jackson is screaming because, and there's just blood and wolfsbane petals just like everywhere. And then he looks back up and instead of the spooky doctor, it's Derek.
Yep.
Who is pulling this rope out of his neck.
And looking maniacal.
Looking maniacal. Also like he hasn't slept in several days.
Yeah. It's a hallucination.
Oh.
The real doctor wants to give Jackson an antibiotic because he has aconite poisoning. How did he test for that during this examination?
I don't know, but I think we're just going to have to accept it and move on.
How did this happen? Like, you don't get your blood work back. He would have had to draw blood. He would have had to send it off to LabCorp. Like,
and you would have had to test for aconite.
Specific. No one is getting wolfsbane poisoning.
No. Although, you know what? In this town, it is not the world's worst idea to add on a standard blood panel. Like, honestly.
That's true.
And so it's like, have you been eating any strange herbs? Because you have aconite poisoning. And so, like, Jackson starts to kind of, like, weirdly listen in. And it's like, aconite or monk's hood or wolfsbane. Mm-hmm. How did I know that? Like, I don't know, sir. How did you know that?
How did indeed. And apparently the only doctor that you go to is in the main hospital because he comes across Mrs. McCall and asks to use her computer so he can look up Wolfsbane. And I guess the wheels click all the way around in his head.
Yeah, he ends up finding something about Wolfsbane on the internet. That
on fake Google.
Yeah, that clicks directly from Wolfsbane aconite poisoning. Werewolf.
It is a big logic leap.
It is, in fact, a big logic leap.
And not only he's right, but he takes this logic leap. He goes back to school. He goes up to Scott and he's like, I know what you are, McCall.
Dun dun.
Say it out loud. Like, he is in the middle of the fucking school hallway telling this kid that he wants a bite, a scratch. He doesn't care. What? Sir, what if you were wrong?
Jackson wants the bite. My note says, sir, will this end well for you?
Unfortunately, no.
Ruh-roh. So Scott is undeniably shaken.
Yeah.
Because Jackson basically says, if you don't give me what I want, I'm going to tell Allison. And I'm going to ruin any hope that you had of getting mm-hmm. back together with her.
Yep.
Which for Scott at like 15 years old is a real threat.
Yeah. Does the trick.
Does the trick.
Stupid kids.
Love them. And then I remember that they're 15 and the 15-year-old just leaps out of the screen. I'm like, oh, silly goober, silly kiddo. Yes. Mm-hmm. Your brain is made of jello. It's gonna be fine.
Yeah, because so like Scott still needs to get the necklace from Allison, and his attempt to do it, well, it's really his first attempt is really not an attempt. In class, he's going to, like, text Allison some adorable pictures of their time together.
Professional stalker-based screenshot photographs?
Yeah, I don't know where he got those, but obviously...
They're stills from the episode, obviously.
They are episode stills. But obviously, it triggers some strong emotions in Allison, and she runs out of the classroom and tells him to just leave her the fuck alone.
So sometimes they do these interesting things, especially in class, where they kind of, like, drop thematic hints. So like in the pilot, they talk about metamorphosis. Here in English class, they're talking about Othello.
Mm-hmm.
And so Allison is sitting down and there's an empty desk kind of vaguely next to her. And Lydia comes in and snags it at the last second, being a great bestie, playing her own game. So Scott has to sit over there. And the teacher says that Iago preyed upon Othello's jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of sort of what Lydia is doing. It's kind of like there's a lot of interplay here. Because when Allison runs out of the room, the teacher is like, and we have some here.
Yep. Although she does let them leave. And I was like, okay, this is still high school. Go get them.
Yeah. I don't know. If I had two kids like that, I would just like send a text or send like a DM to like somebody that I knew was outside or somebody who was on free. Like, hey, got some kids outside. I think they're going to be fine in like 5 minutes, but like, can someone keep an eye on them?
Yeah.
So Scott goes to chase Allison down. And in this scene, I'm trying really hard to take off my goggles, my shipping goggles and my first watch goggles, trying to give these kids credit, particularly Scott, particularly Allison in this scenario. But in this fight, I am siding with Allison.
Yeah.
She has been explicitly clear about her boundaries. Please don't talk to me. Why did you, like, please don't send these to me. And Scott keeps pushing those boundaries.
I thought you'd like them.
Is he pushing them because he's just so focused on the, like, werewolf thing? Is he just being a goober with a jello brain? Is this weaponized incompetence? What's he doing here?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A little bit of everything.
And also that it's fiction.
That too.
But like he's only as smart as the writers can make him act. But I remember the first time I watched this, I was like, why are you getting so like overreacting? Gosh. But it's like, it's because she's been so clear about her boundaries.
Yes.
Don't talk to me. Don't call me. Like,
and here he is sitting down, just sending her incredibly heartfelt, like
intimate.
Intimate,
not
yes,
like
intimate.
Sexy, but like emotionally intimate things.
Yeah. Days after. It hasn't been months. It's been days.
It's been days. Like maybe a week. Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Back spoiler off, alert, Scott. This does not end well for Scott. Poor kid.
Nobody's happy in this show.
Nobody's happy. Nobody's happy. Except for me, because Styles in the next scene sits down with a lunch of chicken strips and macaroni and cheese. And man, does that sound fantastic.
Yeah, it does.
Like, he's just like chomping down on this chicken strip. And I was like, oh, yeah, chicken strips and mac and cheese. Oh, yeah.
Lunch of champions in a high school.
So Scott is pretty heartbroken. Styles is just like determined to get this thing. Just steal the damn thing. Like, just make it so. Jean-Luc Picard, make it so.
Number one.
But then Scott's like, so plot twist. Jackson knows? And Styles' brain kind of like short circuits for a minute. And he's like, he knows what? And so the rest of this scene is just the two of them trying to avoid Jackson. But Jackson like talking to Scott in his like little low down whisper voice.
Yeah. Jackson figures out very quickly that they can hear him from across the lunchroom.
Yeah.
So he just fucks with the two of them. Well, Scott really.
Mostly Scott.
By,
yeah.
you know, eating the apple of a bad character. I can't remember what the trope was, but like, you know, the bad character in a show eating an apple.
Yeah.
And talking shit to Scott over Allison just to be a dick.
Just to. And also as service to the Jackson and Allison shippers in the room. Mm-hmm. Woof, woof, am I.
Especially because the following scene is the following scene. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Is the two of them in what I'm assuming is a swim class?
I would imagine so, yeah.
Neither of them have caps or goggles, so it's not going to be a terribly effective swim class.
Maybe it's just like a PE.
Yeah, free swim.
Something, yeah.
But yeah, they're messing around in the water being cute while Scott is searching Allison's bag.
Jackson's cheekbones are aerodynamically suited for speed in the water.
I loved that. I was like, that's a great line.
Until season two.
Because it's suited to the character, too, because his face really is.
Absolutely.
But Jackson is there really getting Allison to come to the lacrosse game that night, even if she's mad at Scott.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a cute, flirty little scene, especially if you're into Jackson
Absolutely.
And Allison.
Absolutely. It's super cute and super flirty. And
they're both so attractive. It's disgusting.
Oh my God. They're both so pretty. They really are. So it's this upcoming scene that really makes me think that when the writers were writing season two, that they watched at least this episode.
Mm.
As kind of a kickstart to the way that the plot is going to work. Because we see Jackson in the hallway after flirting with Allison at the pool and, like, you know, messing with Scott all day long. And Jackson is wearing the iconic Hail Pack leather jacket, as is tradition. And Lydia storms up to him and says, "What is this?" And Jackson has broken up with her over text.
Yeah, he did.
Give me back my spare house key.
Yeah.
Wowzers.
Oof.
Wowzers, trousers, wowzers. So as, you know, he's looking for some changes and he's going to drop some dead weight. Because the first thing you think of when you think of Lydia Martin is dead weight. So boy, they didn't know what he had. It's all right.
So cruel too, just in the middle of the.
Yeah. Oof.
Yeah.
So, like,
and his stupid little kiss off that he gives her as he walks away, like, the fuck?
Is this a joke? If it was a joke, I'd put a ha ha at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Sir. So for me, this is kind of like the beginning of the transformation of Lydia Martin.
Mm-hmm.
Sending kind of Lydia and Jackson down their season two trajectories.
Yeah, totally.
And I really appreciate that kind of like story continuity. That like
and growth.
There's a marked difference between like pilot Lydia and 1-9 Lydia and like 2-9 Lydia. Like we can watch her grow, and the reasons she does things are kind of, they're better understood because there's reasons for stuff, as opposed to just like cool, we've made this choice.
Yeah.
Not that there won't be that stuff later, but like for right this minute.
You can see the progression when you look back.
Yeah.
Which is nice. It's hard in the moment, I think, sometimes. Yeah. You're like, absolutely, what is happening? But when you take the backwards look, you're like, oh, okay. I see. Maybe you didn't mean to do it on purpose at the time, but you found it.
But you found it.
You found it.
Good job. You went back. You had the puzzle pieces. You did. And now you put the puzzle together and we're thrilled.
Yeah, you did it.
Speaking of puzzle pieces and my brain. Puzzle pieces? Speaking of puzzle pieces and my brain breaking. Sirs.
I conic.
Okay, dear listener. I gotta put my goggles on for this. I promise I will try to take them off again. I promise.
So good.
So if you have no idea what we're talking about, let's move through. So Styles comes home after school, definitely looking to come up with more plots and plans on like how to get to the necklace. And we see Derek just like hanging out.
How long has he been standing there?
How did he get in? Like, why is he still wearing that shirt? Like, come on. So Styles turns around and finds him as, you know, the sheriff is calling for him.
Okay, but did you notice he didn't scream when he saw Derek?
No.
He was just like, Derek. Like,
yeah, well, because he was responding to his dad.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just said Derek instead. Same volume that he would have anyway. Like, whoof, am I? But yeah, he was startled, but not mm-hmm. actively afraid.
He didn't do like his full body Styles panic flail. Yeah.
No. But the sheriff comes out the stairs and Derek panics with his big eyes and face.
Mm-hmm.
And Styles launches himself out the door towards one of the best acted and most awkward scenes I've ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm. Poor Papa Stilinski is trying. He's so proud of Styles for making first string, even though it was because of a team-wide pink eye incident.
Yeah.
But he is so proud of Styles for playing his first game, and he's trying to express fatherly love, and Styles can only think about Derek behind the door.
Yeah. He is trying.
I love it.
My favorite part of this is at one point they go in for a hug and Styles in his like anxiety panic fueled shakes is just huggy.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to go back and rewatch this over and over again just to really soak it in.
Mm-hmm.
Just to soak it up.
Which is just thinking like at the wedding yesterday. Is kind of my internal monologue when I'm trying to decide, like, am I shaking this person's hand? Do I hug this person? What's happening? And if they go in for a hug, I'm just like, hugging.
Hugging. We're doing
this skin. Yay. Because, you know, I willingly hug, like, six people.
Yes.
And it's not these people at this wedding.
No.
Yeah, but yeah, that same kind of like internal monologue, huggies.
Huggy.
I love anytime Papa Stilinski and Styles are on screen together.
It's the best. It's absolute. It's
a legend. I could have done a spinoff of like FBI trainee Styles and Sheriff Stilinski like working cases together.
Absolutely.
And fiance Derek.
My goggles are still on. I can't.
Yeah.
Styles, after having successfully shooed his father away from the scene of the crime, comes back into his room like relieved, like, oh, thank God he didn't catch me. Only to get just like straight up shoved against his own door.
Mm-hmm. Body slammed.
By Derek, just like whoomp, who proceeds to threaten him like you do.
Mm-hmm.
And we get so many iconic bits and pieces. We have dissected this 1,000 and zillion bagillion times.
What I love, though, is that Derek is threatening him. But at this point, Styles is not feeling threatened.
No, Styles is not feeling threatened. If you really want to pick it apart, which like we're going to do, you can look at his body language. And his body language in that moment says like tense.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it particularly says fear.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
I don't think.
That's what I noticed this time. It's like, if you think about the earlier scenes in the Jeep where he's like viscerally flinching away.
Yeah.
Because he's like afraid of this dude and his teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And now because Derek has never attacked him.
Yeah.
And has actively worked with them.
Yeah.
He's like, I'll bark, no bite.
Yeah. Which you definitely see in that scene earlier in the episode with the three of them in the car. Like, mm-hmm. Styles is leaning over the, like, middle space in the front seat, like, right in Derek's face.
Yep.
And there's no violence. There's no nothing. Glares. Intense, grumpy glares. But none of that, like, flailing fear that we see.
Yes. And a lot of it is, like, actor comfortability.
Yeah.
Comfort. Is that the right number of syllables? Comfortability? Comfort.
Yeah, it sounds vaguely correct.
Actor vibes?
The actor vibes. And also Derek's Johnny Bravo hair, which just gives me so much joy. Season one Derek hair is outstanding.
I love it.
Because it goes from Spiky Hedgehog to Johnny Bravo and then back to Spiky Hedgehog.
Yep.
It's like just in this scene is he like a well coiffed.
It's like he did his hair to come over to the Stilinski house. He's still wearing a bloody t-shirt, but he was like, I got to get the front spike.
And we could go on for minutes and minutes about where their eyes are and the way that Derek's hand moves up and down as over Styles as hard as he breathes. Like, we're not going to go there.
Not today.
But we could.
We could.
I'm desperately trying to find like a different way that this could have gone. And I just can't.
Can't do it.
So Derek.
My house, my rules, buddy.
Yeah. Derek threatens Styles, like, don't tell anybody. And Styles comes back at him in his first like serious retort, like, you gonna tell me what to do in my house?
What?
And so they kind of like each like kind of push each other a little bit, and they like adjust their own like each other's collars and whatever. And then just to assert that little extra dominance, Derek like lunges at Styles to like bite him, like, ha. And then we finally get the like flailing like thing from Styles.
Yep.
So I just feeling a lot of feelings over here.
And then they work together.
Yeah.
I love it. They get their little, like, flirty, their, like, anger flirts out of the way.
Yeah.
And then Styles is like, oh, right, the text that Allison got didn't actually come from Scott. Let's do some light hacking.
You came over here to do a thing, right? Mm-hmm. Not just to flirt with me in the danger?
Yep. Like, oh, right, we have a plot to get to. And it means we get to bring in another character that we all love.
Yay!
There's some subterfuge because so we're going to bring Danny in to do some computer stuff, which is nice that Styles isn't the brain for everything. Like, he has his research skills that are really useful for a lot of things, but he isn't also their tech guy.
Yeah.
So they had to bring in a tech guy, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, for sure. For sure. And this is interspersed with Scott breaking into Allison's room because this feels like a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Her room is adorable, though. Love that.
It was very cute. I wish, and have you and I talked about this before, or has it been like maybe B and Mandy, but like, I wish that as you're getting into like high school, that there were more, and I say this knowing that I wouldn't do it because when you're in high school, you're a piece of shit, but like real career fair type things to do. Because set deck is so fucking interesting.
Yeah.
But I would have never have thought about it in high school.
Yeah.
Like, no one would have looked at me and been like, you know what you might be interested in? Set deck.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody, absolutely no one would have said like, okay, you take English classes and you love history and you are not good at math, blah, blah, blah. You should think about set deck. Like, never.
No.
But now pushing the age that I'm pushing, I'm like, man, that could have been a really interesting career because you have to do a lot of historical research and you have to know your characters' minds and you have to know the history of the characters. You really have to get into the script. Like, how cool.
Yeah.
And then you get to buy stuff.
Yeah. And then you get to resell it to the nice people of Los Angeles.
There's fucking warehouses of stuff that you get to go rummage through and pull.
Unbelievable.
You just get into the mind of a character to be like, Allison Argent, she's this age and she came from this background, but her parents would have bought her stuff, but she would have been in the store being like, Mom, can I have it? Like, fascinating. But growing up, unless you were like a textile kid, no one's going to come to you and say like, you know, here's this kind of niche opportunity in Hollywood that you might like. It sucks.
So speaking of set decoration for Allison's room, she has a palmistry hand on her dresser.
Yeah, I love it.
And, you know, interesting. I just have a lot of questions. I have a lot of questions. How interested is Allison in, I'm not going to call it a cult, but I am going to call it more ancient practices.
Sure.
How interested is she?
I mean, given how quickly she like jumped into those older books that Kate gave her.
I imagine pretty interested.
Pretty interested, yeah.
All right, it's time. We got to go back. So we go back to Stiles' room, and he is sitting with Danny, who was supposed to come over for a lab project.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, Stiles asks him to do nefarious hacking-based activities. And Danny's like, I don't even do that. How did you know? And Stiles looks at him, all smiles, and goes, I looked up your arrest record.
Oops.
Because that is one of the things that is on his plate.
Mm-hmm.
And Danny is flustered and grumpy and out of his element and is trying to find a little bit of an anchor on his feet. Like, what is going on? And he looks over and goes, who is that guy? Because there's still a guy sitting in Stiles' room that isn't Stiles.
Yep. A very attractive person sitting without speaking in a bloody shirt.
Reading a large book.
It looks like he's reading the dictionary.
He does. 100% looks like he's reading the dictionary. And Stiles, without missing a beat, goes, it's my cousin, Miguel.
Yeah. Of all the things he could have said.
I just don't understand. Is the inclination, is the hint here that Miguel doesn't speak a lot of English?
I thought so. I thought that this was a way to get Derek out of having to talk to Danny.
Maybe.
Yeah, that this way he could just be like, oh, I don't speak English.
Yeah, maybe.
Because Tyler Hoechlin really looks any sort of ethnic.
I mean, that I can't really speak on, but I will say that it doesn't make any sense at all in the scene to me.
No.
It makes no sense to my brain. And Danny, still looking at Derek, goes, oh, yeah, is that blood on his shirt?
Mm-hmm. Sure is.
And I don't know if Stiles is doing this for him, if he's doing it for Danny, if he's doing it to advance the plot.
He's doing it for all reasons. I also think he's doing it to embarrass Derek and like get back at him for things.
To get back at him for stuff. Yeah. I think so. Because, you know, Derek had the jump on him and had, you know, scared him a little with the teeth. And this is his getting back at it. And so Stiles tells Derek that he can't, or Miguel, that he can borrow a shirt. And so Miguel strips off his shirt with that unbelievably large tattoo.
Yes, it's always so much bigger than I anticipated
it's
being.
It's always so much bigger than it needs to be. Like, sir.
Yep.
So Derek's going through shirts and, you know, this no fit.
Stiles, this no fit.
Poor Derek.
No hint of an accent of any kind.
Absolutely not. But somehow this is what Derek understood with Miguel. This is how I don't understand.
But he did get it. He did realize that he didn't. Hey, yeah, he.
But that's why he was doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very upset. but he puts on that orange and blue shirt.
Yes, he does.
He just looks like a wet, sad cat in that shirt.
Like a little toddler boy. It's so great.
And Danny can't stop staring. And
I feel you.
The exchange that they have is iconic for so many reasons. And it makes me miss like the opportunity that we could have had with Derek or with Danny and Stiles.
Mm-hmm.
This banter, you swing for a different team, but you still play ball, don't you, Danny boy?
It's really good.
You're a horrible person. Keeps me awake at night. Anyway.
It was really good.
You swing for a different team, like, oh, but you still play ball. Just outstanding. So I think at this point, Derek has taken off the shirt again. And so Danny, realizing that Derek's just going to stand there pretty much the entire time, decides to stick around and do a little hacking.
Yes, he does some work, and realizes that the text was sent from a computer, that was registered to one Melissa McCall.
So I'd like to point out that in this scene, Derek is in fact wearing a shirt. So Derek found a shirt that fit.
Yes.
So congratulations to him. But yes, a text sent by Melissa McCall's computer.
We're sending texts from computers in 2011?
Yeah, I guess. So we flash back to like Scott in Allison's room, and he's like, he finds the necklace in a book, like using it as a bookmark.
Yes.
And Allison is like circled words in this book talking about old ancient monsters.
The loop guru.
And of all the words that catches his little brain, it's loop guru.
Mm-hmm. Loop guru.
Which we find out in a translator sponsored by BlackBerry means werewolf. Mm-hmm. Dun dun.
Oops. Dun, dun, dun. It's all coming together. People are starting to know.
People are
the worst kept secret in Beacon Hills.
The worst kept secret in Beacon Hills. Like, it's outstanding. Yeah. So Scott is trying to get out of Allison's room and goes to his bike and runs into Mr. Argent.
Okay, given the timing of how this scene goes, he jumps out of the window and he grabs his bike, and immediately Chris Argent is like, yo, did Chris Argent not watch this boy jump out of the window? Because that's how it felt like to me, given how quickly he was like, hey, Scott. I was like, he must have watched him jump out of the window.
Either that, or he was just like, you know, on his phone scrolling through whatever the TikTok of 2011 was.
Murderers are us.
Like, I don't know. But yes, in theory, if the logic police were here, they would tell you that Chris absolutely watched Scott climb out of Allison's window. But
here we are.
Here we are. So Chris escorts Scott into the house and offers him a beer.
Stop offering this kid alcohol.
And I'm watching this scene going like, is this season one or is this season six? I'm mm-hmm. not sure. And Chris could finally confront Scott. How do you know Derek Hale?
Poor Scott.
Poor Scott.
He does not want to be in this house.
No, not at all. Not at all.
And he was saying that Allison said that she had seen Scott talking to Derek. Like, ah, fuck. Poor kid.
Poor kid. So, speaking of Allison, the camera catches up to her running through the woods in yet another iconic scene.
Mm-hmm.
And this little curiosity pony decides to look at the burnt shell of this gigantic house and say, ha ha, I'm going to go inside.
Why do people keep going into this poor family's house?
That's our little curiosity pony, Allison. So she is exploring the house a little bit and kind of being real gentle about it, and looks down at the ground at this like thing that she sees under the ash, and she spreads away some ash and finds a set of claw marks.
Mm-hmm.
Which she immediately puts her fingers to and starts dragging down, following the path of the claws.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
People make some really big logic leaps.
Yes, they do.
Because I wouldn't be like, werewolf. I might be like, animal.
I might be like, big dog.
Big dog. I don't... Maybe I just have no curiosity pony. I would just be like, oh, fucking animal was in here. Yeah. Crazy.
And then speaking of monsters,
speaking of crazy people. Yeah, just following her niece around.
Was she following Allison, or was she just coming back to the Hale house to look at it?
Like, returning to the scene of the crime.
I don't know. And so Allison starts asking questions. She's like, why would he be looking to kill us? And Kate is trying to like kind of like lead her on, you know, you got some questions, you think you might need some answers. Can you imagine if your father and I were trapped in something like this? It might do some pretty interesting things to your head.
Yeah, especially if someone did it on purpose.
Especially if someone did it on purpose. Super weird.
Catherine.
Catherine.
I wonder if her name is Catherine or if it's just Kate.
I think it's Catherine.
Catherine.
Catherine. Well, like, you know, I have a very much like, look who's talking, ma'am moment. You don't have to be, you know, it's like, I'm not going to go psycho. It's like, you don't have to be psychotic to be a killer. Mm-hmm. You just need a reason.
Yeah, it's just, unfortunately, you are psychotic.
Ma'am.
That's the problem.
And then Allison delivers her kind of iconic little speech.
I do love this, though. I like the idea of a woman. Well, she's a girl.
She's a girl.
Like, not wanting to be scared and wanting to feel powerful and strong. I don't find fault in that. I find fault in her leaning on Kate, because that's not the right mentor.
But she doesn't know that.
She just doesn't know it.
She doesn't know that. And I'm not going to fault Allison for something that she doesn't know.
True. Absolutely. Yeah. It's the hindsight, right? In hindsight, course. You're like, oh, no.
Trust literally everyone else in the room but her. Please. Mm-hmm. Literally everyone but her.
But a woman wanting to feel strong, especially in this world where there are clearly dangerous things and she's surrounded by men who have more ability than she seems to. Her dad traffics firearms and her ex-boyfriend seems to be able to throw lacrosse balls through nets. Like, there are somewhat frightening people around her at this point. There's no downside to wanting to feel stronger.
No, not at all.
And you live in the fucking woods.
Yeah. But as Kate, you know, Kate's just like, just give me a couple of days. Just give me your patience. And I can help. And Kate walks away knowing that she's got Allison hook, line, mm-hmm. and sinker. Hook, line, and sinker. She's done. She's
be
got
a
her.
Man, you must be swift as the courser.
Do, do, do. So back to Chris and Scott talking about how they just want Allison to be safe. And it doesn't happen often, but definitely with some of the younger actors in the series, sometimes they have like better days or better scenes than others. Mm-hmm. And this was not Scott's strongest scene for me.
No.
It kind of took me out of it a little bit. I see where they were going, but it was a little hard for me.
I think it's hard too when you're up against really strong adult actors.
Absolutely.
And it's just like,
because we're going to run into that problem here in a minute.
Yeah. And you're just like, oh, the years of experience are on display.
Yeah, really, truly. And Allison, once again, curiosity pony Allison, is so curious as she's gotten home and is now overhearing her ex and her father talk about, well, I just want her to be safe.
I can see, you know, in every piece of media, there's the path of, oh, he just cares for me and that's really nice. And then also, fuck these guys. I can take care of myself. And both are valid depending on your mood. Because sometimes you're just like, fuck the hell off. I got this. I don't need no man. And also sometimes you want your dad to just leave you alone.
Yup.
I get it, Allison.
I get it. I do.
I mean, I like my dad, but I want my dad to take care of me again.
Yeah.
Come build something for me.
So we flash from here. It's now nighttime. Allison's supposed to go to the lacrosse game. Scott and Jackson are already there. And we see Stiles and Derek in the Jeep. Where the hell is Belinsky? With Coach in the background.
Where is Belinsky? Well,
where the hell is Belinsky? Because Stiles is talking to Scott about, like, I just got to do this thing and then I'll be right there. I'll be like, tell my dad I'm going to be late and I'll be there.
He is not there.
He is not there. And knowing some of the superpowers that they have now, I totally believe, because Derek is staring at Stiles as he's on the phone with this like big wide-eyed kind of look. Mm-hmm. I believe that Derek can hear the lie in Stiles' heartbeat.
Yeah, absolutely.
That Stiles knows he's not going to make it. Stiles knows he's prioritizing Derek and Scott at the pack over his father.
And the game, yeah.
And the game.
And the first string, right, that he's been wanting.
Yeah, which is not having for. Mm-hmm. And then Derek in the, decides to slam Stiles' head into the steering wheel.
Okay, spousal abuse is wrong. Intimate partner abuse is criminal. And
intimate partner violence is an actual problem.
This is so wrong. It is terrible. We do not condone. It is should be arrested immediately. There is no excuse. And also, I laugh every time.
Every single time, because this is fiction. This is fictional. They are fictional characters. This is fiction.
Fictional characters. They're not real people. There is nothing about this that is condoned. But also the
mind. I know what it was for. Like,
the
yes,
setup. The snarky setup of like, by the way, one more thing. Boom. You know what that was for. Fucking funny. And wrong of Derek to hurt Stiles like that. But you also know that he held himself back because he could have killed Stiles.
Oh, absolutely.
Doing that.
Because I don't even think Stiles breaks his nose in this, because when
he
goes to the hospital, he's fine.
Yeah.
So like he was holding back in the scene with Danny, like he could have gone, you know, whatever. But yeah, just yeah. Bad news bears.
So bad and so funny.
So bad and so funny. So then we flash back to Scott and Jackson getting our Skaxon on. God, that sounds, it's so much better written out than it is out
loud. I don't like Skaxon. I don't. It's a bad word.
But Scott and Jackson.
The ship is fine, but the word is wrong.
Yeah, the ship is great. It just, the word bothers me. So Jackson here is just being smarter than everyone else in the room and is like, dude, I know what you are. I know where you got it. Let's go. Mm-hmm. And Scott's like, but dude, there are hunters. And Jackson's like, really? Mm-hmm. Wah. And he immediately puts together.
He's so smart.
Of course it's Allison's family. It's Argent. Don't you know what Argent means in French?
Yeah. Fucking. Like,
Jackson puts it together immediately.
So fast.
He's so smart. He's so good.
Yeah. It's funny how quickly that he was like, oh, I got it.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, I see. Meanwhile, it had never occurred to Scott.
Or Styles,
yeah.
Never occurred to them. So speaking of things that don't occur to Styles, he goes into the hospital looking for Mom McCall. Mm-hmm. And doesn't find her. But you know who else he doesn't find?
Peter.
Or the nurse that cares for her. Mm-hmm. Uncle Peter is missing. And Derek, in a lightning moment, figures it out right here. Get out of there right now. It's him. He's the alpha.
Oh, shit.
Ruh-roh.
Except Peter is standing right behind Styles.
You must be Styles.
Which is not the first time Peter will be creepy about Styles.
Which is not the first time Peter will be creepy about Styles. And Steeter begins. Styles and Peter is, again, one of those very interesting, like, in real life? Probably mm-hmm. not. But in fiction, because these are fictional people in fictional relationships and a fictional place, everything is fiction. Boy, is it interesting.
It also doesn't hurt that Ian Bowen is super attractive.
And as we will continue to find out in the next, like, 5 or 6 minutes of screen time, a pretty good actor.
Yeah.
This is one of those things that, like, Dylan and Tyler have to stand up against Ian Bowen. Mm-hmm. And they both get a little knocked out.
Yeah, a little
just a smidgen. Because among their peers, their acting peers, they're like doing okay. But like, as soon as you start kind of putting them next to these really super experienced veteran actors, you're like, okay. And everyone gets better. That's one of the things I love about the show is that like everyone gets markedly better every season.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
But right this second.
Ian Bowen had been acting since like 93.
Yeah, he's been there a long time. But Peter is Uncle Peter. Hiya, Uncle Peter. Gets real creepy about Styles. And Styles gets cornered between Peter and the nurse. And he's like, I'm just going to die. This is fine. I'm going to die.
He just like slumps to the floor.
And Derek runs in, offers what is almost like a Judas effect, like a back elbow to the nose.
Yeah.
A swinging back elbow to the nurse. And is saying not very nice things to her and just without even looking at Styles tells him, get out of the way. And he goes, and just falls to the floor.
Yep. And this, you also start to get Peter's like personality because when Derek punches out the nurse, Peter's just like, that's not nice.
Peter is a sass master.
He is.
Such a sass master. And he starts talking about the things that the fire did to him, you know, burning away my mind, my personality, slowly healing cell by cell. And there's some mm-hmm. serious hail on hail violence here.
Oh, yeah. They're kicking the shit out of each other.
And well, Styles is squirreling away as fast as he possibly can.
So Peter's really more kicking the shit out of Derek.
Yeah.
And there's times where, like, you can see it in Derek's face when he's trying to punch Peter that he's like, this is the last of my family. Like, I don't want to do this.
Yeah. And as we continue to learn throughout the show, Derek and Peter were close.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine how hard this is for him. But speaking of people I don't care about.
Harris.
Adrian Harris is back in a poorly lit classroom staring at the chalkboard, talking to someone who is clearly behind him. Sir.
Mm-hmm.
Sir.
Do you know why Stilinski or Sheriff Stilinski is interrogating him?
No. My best guess is, well, I have a couple of guesses. One, if Styles is sort of following the Laura pathway. Like, Derek's giving him stuff from Laura and Styles is kind of following it through. He may have gotten it from Styles, kind of just like talking at the kitchen table kind of stuff. Or it's very possible that Peter, Uncle Peter, in his enduring wisdom of hacking into stuff and sending his nurse out on errands after he didn't get anywhere with Harris, that he sent it to the thing. I don't know, but he is. He is. Yeah. And they have a very similar conversation to the first conversation with the Alpha.
Yeah, I was just like, why is this happening? How did this happen?
So Harris gives us a timeline. And there are some things that kind of all come together here. Mm-hmm. So Harris says, it was 6 years ago and before I'd gotten sober. Thrilled to hear he's gotten sober.
Yes.
Unhappy to hear about the rest of his everything. There was a girl with this necklace and she was flirting with him and talking about chemistry and, you know, how you can melt away the lock of a bank vault and dissolve a body and start a fire and get away with arson.
Mm-hmm.
And then he confirms. And a week later, the Hale house burns down.
Yep.
So let's go back to the pilot. That's Derek Hale. He's just a few years older than us.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody burned in a fire. His house caught fire and everybody died.
Yeah.
So if we're going to be real, real, real generous, 21.
Yeah.
22.
Oh, for Derek?
For Derek.
So remember, there is a copy of the pilot script. Derek Hale, 19 and unquestionably handsome. So in the pilot. In the script, he is 19.
It was 6 years ago, and it was before I'd gotten sober. Derek was 13 when the house burned down.
Yeah.
13.
Yeah. Sweet. Makes him sweet baby.
An eighth grader, a ninth grader, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah. You fuck off.
Oh, we'll talk about this later in a few minutes. Oh, don't you worry.
Yeah.
So Harris is talking about, like, the girl, and she was wearing a necklace. I'm going to give you the same information I gave Laura Hale. Which is the necklace.
Mm-hmm.
And the sheriff asks, like, well, why didn't you, like, turn yourself in? It's like, be an accomplice to arson. And the sheriff, in his, like, sheriff best, goes, arson happens to property. This girl is a murderer.
Right.
Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You get him.
Yes. There's so many dead bodies.
So many. So we flash back and Derek is still crawling through broken glass. Trying to crawl away from Uncle Peter. It's not working that great.
It's really not.
And Peter, pausing for a dramatic effect, spins the mirror and gets rid of his burn scars.
He says something about too handsome to wait or something. Too handsome to...
Yeah, it's like, when you're this handsome, why wait?
Why wait? Yeah.
He's real pretty.
He is real pretty.
Real pretty. And I'm over here screaming at Derek, no, don't trust him.
He can't be trusted.
Can't be trusted.
It's hard, though, when it's your family.
It's your favorite uncle. Like, I'm thinking right now about my favorite uncle. My favorite uncle. Like, the one we used to get in all kinds of silly trouble and taught me to bake biscuits and is just like a light in my life. My favorite uncle.
Harvey?
That's my great uncle.
Oh, that's your great uncle.
Different uncle. And if I had to watch him basically rot away for 6 years and then have him come back, what can only be described as a miracle of healing, only to find out that he's a monster.
Yep.
Like, I don't know if I'd ever get over that.
Mm-mm.
Like, really, I don't know if I'd ever get over it. So, oof. So we're back at the lacrosse game and Styles is definitely not there because he is still at the hospital with Derek and Uncle Peter. But everyone else is getting together at the lacrosse game. The sheriff is there and the Argent family is there. Kate made it there. Everyone's together.
Yep.
And in this moment where I want to just take somebody's fictional little ears and just shake them till they're better. Kate says, she intimates that Jackson is good looking.
Yeah.
If only I were in high school again.
Ugh.
Or maybe just a substitute teacher.
Yes. Oh, it's terrible.
And then Allison goes back and says, you were sick.
Yes, she is.
She is. And like, you put the pieces together and I can 100% see what happened. It's like Veronica Mars. You know, you get to the pilot and like the whole timeline like clicks together. And like, I can see how it happened. And I'm just like, I hate everything. I hate everyone. Everyone is monsters.
Everyone is monsters.
But Kate notices that Jackson's got some like fangs on his neck.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. It says, can you get turned by a scratch? And Chris goes, you know, if the claws go deep enough, then maybe. And she points out Jackson and go, I wonder how deep those went.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Scott overhears all of this.
Yep.
And so we're just left with like everything happening on the field and just Scott just by himself, desperately trying to figure out mm-hmm. what to do. Poor Scotty.
Poor motherfuckers.
Poor Scotty. He is trying so hard to keep everything together. He really is.
He really, really is.
So this is the episode. It starts a lot of things. Woof.
There's a lot.
There's a lot in this episode.
It's packed. Yeah. There's, again, we got like stuff answered, but new questions. Fucking Jackson just dicking around, causing problems. Which, like, it's hard. I don't know that I can blame Jackson because he does feel diminished because of Scott.
Absolutely. He's talked about it, talking about how it feels like he's had something stolen from him and he wants it back. And
totally,
you know, 15, 16 years old, I 100% understand that. When this is, quote unquote, your life,
mm-hmm.
when this is the thing that you have, the thing that you're known for, the thing that you're proud of, the thing that, so we established in the parent-teacher conference episode that like Jackson feels some sort of instability because he's adopted,
mm-hmm.
which will come back to haunt him.
Yeah.
And like, all of these things come together and this is his main focus, not necessarily becoming a werewolf, but to take back what he feels that Scott has taken from him.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. I get don't it. Support it, but I get it.
No, yeah. It's just like, I think this is one of those things that we have to roll with for the sake of the show is like, how is he so cavalier on the idea of a werewolf?
Right.
Where you're just like, I know what you are because I Googled
Wolfsbane that one time on your mom's computer.
Yeah, I Googled Aconite, so now I'm chill. Like, all right.
It's a choice, cool. But okay.
Yeah, good like, job. Good for you? Like, shit.
Well done, Cold Star.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're getting not necessarily, for me, any more questions, but definitely my curiosity is getting, like, increasingly piqued.
Mm-hmm.
Just, like, what... What did,
what's next?
What's next? Like, how, where else does this go? And I know where else it goes, and I'm not thrilled.
Sure.
Not excited. Not excited. Yep. I know where this is going, and I'm just feeling a lot of feelings.
Yeah. There's a lot that still needs to happen for people.
Yeah, for sure.
It's kind of exciting.
Yeah, because we're definitely on that part of the roller coaster where we're like, okay, so next episode, please.
Next, please.
And you know what? Depending on how long the writer's strike goes, you may get the next episode right now.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Yeah. Hot labor summer is swiftly going into cool labor fall.
Yeah, it really is. Season two may happen before.
Season two.
Yeah.
We'll just bulk drop a season like Netflix. Boom.
Unfortunately, season two is like 22 fucking episodes.
It is not. It is 12.
Season two?
Yeah.
Is it?
We don't get to that 22 episode nonsense until like season five. And then it's 5A and 5B and 6A and 6B.
Shit. I thought they were all, you're right, 12 episodes. Hell yeah.
No, season two, for those of you who haven't binge watched this 1,000 times, season one is short. Season two is short. Season three technically is like 24 episodes, but 3A and 3B are so distinct that it's just 12 and 12.
Season
4, I think, is short. Season 5 is where it starts to linger. So like with season 3, you can't necessarily have 3B without the things that happen in 3A. Like they do kind of go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
But 5A and 5B are not really distinct enough from each other to separate them out.
Mm-hmm.
So season 5 really does kind of feel like 22 episodes.
Yeah.
And then season 6 is kind of in the middle. They both have their own like kind of distinct plots, but the vibe is so similar that it feels like one long season.
Got it.
So, but no, we'll do 1, 2, 3A, 3B, and 4, and then we'll get into the rest of it.
Mm, okay.
So, yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. All right. It's that time of our program where I, as a giffer, speak to the rest of my giffers. This is the episode you're looking for. And in this is the episode you're looking for, I tell you that if you're looking for a specific scene or a specific ship or a specific whatever, that this is the episode you're looking for. So you don't have to do the thing where you pull it up on Photoshop like 17 times and try to scan through the whole episode. So let me pull up my notes here. If you are looking for anything about Professor Harris, you know, doing, living his dream. Spooky stuff with the Alpha Claws, Derek being a good guy, Scott driving the Camaro, any kind of situation with Scott, Stiles, and Derek, that scene of them in the car, Jackson, anything horror related, the whole like blood dripping doctor stabby guys, Derek looking particularly unhinged, a lot of Skaxon in this episode, a lot of Scott and Jackson, heartbroken Allison, all those like beautiful soft faces of hers, the Jackson and Allison pool scenes, Jackson in the Hale pack leather jacket, and the beginning of the spare house key with Lydia. Everything that happens with Derek and Stiles with the wall, just Derek shoving Stiles into the wall, that's in 1-9 with his Johnny Bravo hair. Danny, my cousin Miguel, this no fit, all of that is here.
The best.
Alleged. Really, really early Scott and Chris, if you're looking for like a retrospective on their relationship. Allison running in the woods, that very iconic scene. Kate and Allison in the Hale house, that's here in 1-9. Allison's I want to not be scared, I want to feel stronger than that, I want to feel powerful is here. Derek slamming Stiles' head into the steering wheel. Uncle Peter.
Not condoned.
Uncle Peter, you must be Stiles. Any beginning Steeter that you'd like to pop in here? You know, Peter with the scar, Peter without the scar, Peter just being adorable, Kate being a creepo, an unbelievable creepo, and then more Kate and Allison. So these are the things that you're looking for. And if these are the things you're looking for, then this is the episode you're looking for.
It's a doozy.
It is a doozy. This is one of the most popular ones to GIF. It's got so many like beautiful scenes. Scott and Jackson and Allison in the pool, Scott by himself on the lacrosse field, all of those ones with Allison and Kate in the Hale house. If you like black out kind of Kate around her, the shadows, like that profile of Allison, it's like, mwah! Mm-hmm. And then of course, just like everyone who has GIFed. The way that Derek and Stiles stare at each other when they're pushed up against the door. Like, we're not going to talk about it. My goggles are on too tight. I'm very sorry.
But we are going to revisit it.
I'm weak.
We are who we are.
I am what I am, and that's all that I am.
It's all we can do. We can only be who we be.
And with that.
I guess that's the episode.
Yeah.
Cruising through. I think it was a good one.
Oh, yeah. This is one of my favorites. It's a good one.
Despite Harris.
Yeah.
Although it's good to know what he was up to.
Yeah. It's interesting. I really appreciate that he only talks to strangers looking at his own chalkboard. That's really important.
Yep. Stay weird.
Stay weird, man.
Stay weird, buddy. Great. Well, that is 1-9. We've got a few more episodes in this season, so we're rocking through. You can find us on social media, on the places where you know to find us. Come say hi and let us know what you think and ask questions if we know how to answer them.
And if you are a Scott and Jackson shipper, I particularly want to talk to you, especially after the last few episodes.
Totally. Yep. And then if you want to support the pod and find some more bonus content, you can find us at patreon.com/fandomontherocks. And then we will catch you on the next episode.
You've been listening to Pack Dynamics, a Fandom on the Rocks podcast. For more episodes, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow us online at Fandom on the Rocks. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can subscribe to our Patreon account at patreon.com/fandomontherocks. Subscribers get access to ad-free content, exclusive bonus episodes, deep diving into fandom, and more. So until next time, keep your pack close.